Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 32 at 20,943. S&P 500 up 2 at 2,399. NASDAQ Composite up 8 at 6,129. Another record high close for the NASDAQ. Russell 2000 small and mid-cap stocks up 7 at 1399. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 2.41%. Oil up $1.45 at $47.33 per barrel. Gold down $2.30 at $1,219.80 per ounce. President Trump's firing of the FBI Director James Comey injected another volatile ingredient into the partisanship already engulfing the Capitol and threatened to overwhelm Republican efforts to turn their government control into legislative success. The abrupt decision has investors raising questions about whether the president's pro-growth tax-cutting reforms will stall as the focus shifts to why Comey was dismissed while the FBI was investigating possible Russian ties to Trump's campaign. Every piece of Trump's agenda just became harder to get through Congress. Whoever Trump nominates as Comey's replacement will face a brutal confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. It will get saturation-level media coverage. There are legal implications that will take time to fully unravel. The Comey dismissal is going to consume most of the oxygen in Washington for the foreseeable future. As U.S. equity markets continue to price to perfection a grab bag of promised corporate giveaways, a group of researchers at the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, had the temerity to ask last month, what could possibly go wrong? In their April 2017 Global Financial Stability Report, IMF researchers methodically pare back the rosy lenses of the stock market and focus on the warning signs in the U.S. corporate debt market. Two particular findings have the power to potentially jolt the equity markets out of their euphoric stupor. The researchers note, the U.S. corporate sector has tended to favor debt financing, with $7.8 trillion in debt and other liabilities added since 2010. And the number of U.S. firms with very low interest coverage ratios, that would be a common signal of distress, is already high. Currently, firms accounting for 10% of corporate assets appear unable to meet interest expenses out of current earnings. This figure doubles to 20% of corporate assets when considering firms that have slightly higher earnings cover for interest payments and rises to 22% under the assumed interest rate rise. The stark rise in the number of challenged firms has been mostly concentrated in the energy sector, partly as a result of oil price volatility over the past few years. But the proportion of challenged firms has broadened across such other industries as real estate and utilities. The report acknowledges that equity markets have taken a relatively benign view of the downside risks and warns that there could be a swift repricing of risk in the event of policy disappointment. The Senate has rejected efforts to roll back an Obama-era rule limiting methane emissions from energy production sites on federal land. The vote over the greenhouse gas was close, 49-51, with Republican Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Susan Collins coming down against the resolution. In a statement, McCain said he voted against the repeal because the effort made use of a legislative tool called the Congressional Review Act, which would have blocked similar regulations in the future. The greenhouse gas rule is intended to curb a practice called flaring, during which energy producers burn off natural gas that they can't process or sell. That process releases methane into the atmosphere. Today, oil prices rose more than 3% as inventories suffered the biggest one-week drop this year. The U.S. Energy Information Administration said crude inventories fell 5.2 million barrels last week. Gasoline and distillate stocks also fell. Production rose, however, and gasoline demand over the last 4 weeks was 2.5% lower than at the same time period a year ago. Prices also found support in comments by Algeria's energy minister that Algeria and Iraq favor extending global supply cuts when OPEC meets next month. And Saudi Arabia's energy minister went public with his support not only for an extension of the OPEC cuts for another 6 months, but he also dangled the possibility of an extension into next year. According to the just-released monthly Treasury statement, in April, the U.S. Treasury collected $456 billion and spent $273 billion, resulting in a budget surplus of $182 billion, higher than the $179 billion expected and well above last year's $106 billion surplus. In a surprising jump in government revenues, receipts rose 3.9% year-over-year in April, while outlays plunged a whopping 17.7% year-over-year. The increase in the surplus, due entirely to calendar quirks and a shift in the timing of some corporate income tax payments. On Friday, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will be on the world stage for the start of 2 days of meetings in Italy with finance ministers from the G7, that's the U.S. and six other major economies, Canada, Germany, Japan, Britain, France, and Italy. The talks come amid a number of geopolitical uncertainties. The issue of trade was at the forefront in March when Mnuchin and leaders of the world's 20 largest economies met in Germany. The tough talks ended in the group deciding to drop long-standing pro-trade language from a joint agreement. Hoping to bypass another row this week, Italian officials said they would keep trade off the official agenda. Italy is the current president of the G7. They have the power to set the agenda of the finance ministers' meetings. Aetna, one of the five major public health insurers in the U.S., announced it will remove its products from the Obamacare exchanges in Nebraska and Delaware. The move comes after Aetna announced it was pulling out of Iowa and Virginia over the past few weeks, citing losses sustained in the Affordable Care Act's individual insurance exchanges. The moves mean Aetna has completely removed itself from every Obamacare exchange for now. Tesla opened up orders and announced pricing information for its solar roof product. The company also launched a calculator to show people how much it could cost to replace their roof with a Tesla solar roof. Uses information like the size of the roof, the average local price of electricity, and how much sunlight a neighborhood receives during a year to calculate the price. Tesla's solar roof uses both solar and non-solar tiles, which allows consumers to choose how many solar tiles they need based on their home's electricity consumption. Tesla's estimate of $21.85 per square foot is based on a roof that's 35% solar tiles. To help put the cost in perspective, a Tesla solar roof for a home needing 3,000 square feet of roofing would cost more than $65,000 if 35% of the tiles were solar. According to Consumer Reports, a slate tile roof for a home the same size would cost about $45,000, and an asphalt roof would be about $20,000. Tesla said the cost would be offset by the value of energy the tiles produce. Sears Holding Chief Executive Officer Eddie Lampert blasted the media today for unfairly singling out the company over the past decade and blamed irresponsible coverage for the retailer's woes. Sears, once the largest U.S. retailer, warned investors in March there was a chance it may not be able to continue as a going concern after years of losses and declining sales. But Sure. Let's say the reason is the media and not pathetic management that has not been able to capitalize on an iconic brand name and failed to modernize. Lampert, a hedge fund investor who is rarely seen in public, kicked off his appearance at an annual shareholders meeting at Sears headquarters in Hoffman Estates with a slideshow of headlines about the company's financial distress dating back to 2008. Sears has not reported a profit for 6 years, which Lampert compared to Amazon.com's early unprofitable growth. Well, there is a pretty big difference between Sears and Amazon. Sears has not reported a profit for 6 years. Sears has been closing stores, selling off assets like its Craftsman brand, and borrowing money from Lampert to survive. Amazon plowed profits back into the company as it created and dominated it in e-book readers and voice-assisted speakers and state-of-the-art distribution centers and logistics. Amazon also built a new division that handles cloud computing, one of its fastest-growing divisions. Sears never figured out how to turn its print catalog into an online catalog. Sears has almost no online presence. Earlier this year, because of new rules from the SEC, Sears was required to disclose that there is substantial doubt about the retailer's ability to continue as a going concern. So today, Lampert ranted that the media is to blame for the problems with Sears. And he predicted people will look back and wonder how they missed the Sears turnaround, which he said would be driven by the Shop Your Way loyalty program. Sure. That's the ticket, Eddie. Snapchat's user growth slowed to its lowest pace in years as parent company Snap Inc. missed Wall Street expectations for its first quarterly earnings as a public company, sending its shares down about 20% in after-hours trading. Snap added 8 million new daily users in the first 3 months of the year, representing year-on-year growth of 36%. At the same time last year, Snapchat was growing its daily users by 52%. Shares of Whole Foods Market rose by as much as 3.5% after the company named 5 new board members and a CFO and released fiscal second quarter earnings that met expectations. Dow Jones Industrial Average today down 32 to close at 20,943. S&P 500 up 2 to finish at 2,399. And the NASDAQ Composite set another record up 8 at 6,129. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.